Hi, this is Brooke Devard from Naked Beauty. Are you tired of feeling housebound? I sure am. Break free with the new Unbound Cordless Auto Curler from Conair. It's a high-performance auto curler that's rechargeable and gives you up to 60 minutes of cord-free runtime. Just think of all of the incredible hair looks you can create in 60 minutes, unbound, away from your wall. Don't get tied down by cords. Love your look. Live unbound. Check it out at Conair.com and search Unbound.
The Genie Show. Oh, it's Monday.
Shh, be very, very quiet. It's Ginny. She's in her natural habitat. Yes, she's with someone, but who is she with? All we know for sure, it's Monday. And she's drinking a mocha. It must be Monday Mocha with Ginny Sarasvati.
Ah, it's good to be back in Melbourne. Oh, I can just hear the sounds of the trams and the smell of great coffee brewing in the cafes. I'm going to go pick up a mocha because it's Monday. And I'm making my way down the city to catch up with Monique Bowley, who is the executive producer of Mamma Mia. This lady lives, breathes, and sleeps content. She pumps out so many blogs and podcasts day in, day out. She's a bit of a superwoman, and I'm looking forward to getting to know her. So, Mamma Mia, here I go again to the Mamma Mia Podcast Network.
Okay, Monique, do you drink coffee?
Do I? I don't drink it. I inject it into my mouth like a furious, just caffeine addict. And thank you for having me on Monday Mocha.
You're welcome.
Do you know, I have to say I'm anti-mocha.
Why? Okay, you're one of those people now.
Yeah, are we a thing?
Because are you going to now put the argument forward that it's not real coffee?
It's not, like, it's just have a chocolate or have a coffee. Don't have both. It's, you're not a purist.
Well, I think it's the best of both worlds.
Mm.
Not a purist. Okay. Okay. I will own that, Monique. I'll own that. Mm. What coffee do you drink?
Long black, dash of hot milk.
See, I find it's the long black / espresso drinkers that have that belief that you're not a purist.
Yeah.
It's like organic coffee drinking, what you're trying to pretty much put out there, right?
And it's like people that put a sugar in the coffee. Don't. Just have the coffee. Let the coffee stand on its own. It's too good to ruin with your, although I ruin mine with milk, but yeah, with your chocolate and your sugar.
Okay.
Spoken like a true Melbourneite.
I was just about to say, you really did wave the Melbourne flag there.
Thank
you. So good on you. Do you hit the snooze button when you wake up?
Never.
Never?
No. Do you know why?
Why?
Because I now no longer sleep with my phone in the bedroom.
I read that blog. That was one of my favourite blogs that you've ever written.
Thank you.
You know, taking some time. What was it, separating from your beloved?
I separated from my beloved. My beloved and me sleep in separate rooms. It's very trendy. All the celebrities have separate beds with their partners now. Mm-hmm. So I took the thing I love most in the world, my phone, and put it in a different room, and my sleep has improved out of sight.
What was it when you had your phone near your bed? Was it the zzzz that woke you up? Are you a light sleeper? What was it?
I just would wake. It was just the thought, the thirsty thought that someone might have liked something on my Instagram. I would actually wake up at 3 a.m. and check it. What an idiot. What a dick. And I would wake up at like 4 or 5 and just get on Gmail and just be there. Like, what was I even doing? And then this is why I was drinking so much coffee and eating so much crap during the day, because I was like, oh, I'm tired. I'm hungry. It was because I was on my phone all night. So now the phone goes in an entirely separate room down the other end of the house. And when the alarm goes off, I have to get out of bed to go and turn it off. Hence, it just ticks so many boxes for me.
I was just about to say, I think a lot of people, motivational speakers, actually recommend that, because the phone and the connection we have to it now is so dependent that now we just so hit the snooze button. It's what we set our alarm on now and everything, so actually putting it away helps you get out of bed.
And, you know, I read recently that alarm clock sales have gone through the roof because people are starting to go back to the alarm clock because of this need to check our phones in the middle of the night and the blue screen of the phone that keeps you awake.
I find, too, that when you don't hit the snooze button, you actually get a lot more done in your day. You seem to be a very busy woman. You run a whole podcast network.
Yes.
That pumps out content like there's nothing else. It's just there's something up every second. I'm like, oh, 60 new blogs up in an hour. That's great. Do you meditate or have any spiritual practice to kind of balance this out for you?
Yes, I do. I Meditation, I can't do it. I'm bad at it. My mind just runs away all the time. I know that's the point. You just try and get control of it, but blah, blah, blah. It didn't work for me. But the one thing I do, and I don't admit this to many people, Ginny, but I go to Mass on every Sunday because I'm a Catholic.
Really?
And people, the reason I go, and it's funny because I have a fraught relationship with Catholicism because it's so, it's so gendered, and there's so much talk about God being a bloke and like men and, you know, only men can be priests and blah, 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 blah. So that annoys me. But other than that, there is nowhere in life anymore, I find, that tells you not to be a dickhead. There's nowhere that you can go, like when you're at school and you're growing up, you're at school, you've got your parents to say, you know, don't be a good person. You've got your school there saying, be a good person, don't be a dickhead. And then when you get into adulthood, there's no one's there anymore to say, make those decisions for yourself. And so that Sunday morning, 1 hour where I go to Mass and I can't have my phone on me, and it's just telling me to be a better person and not to be a dickhead. That is my 1 hour a week that I get. That's how it kind of resets me.
Mm. That's a beautiful way of putting it, actually, because my niece was baptised a few years ago. She had a late baptism. And my sister said to me, so what are you going to do to support Catholicness? I went, well, I'll be a good person. And she goes, but you're not going to go to church. I said, well, I am reminded every day that I need to be a good person. But you're right about the message coming through every day, because nothing tells you to be a good person. It tells you how you should behave. It tells you how you should behave in the sense of how you should manage people and be, I guess, in a way, when you go to an organisation, it says what you can and can't do, what's crossing the line. But it's actually not built on it's not predicated on being a good person or a decent human being.
And we live so much of our lives online now, and it's always, and a lot of life I've decided, I'm getting deep on you, Ginny, but everything is about the inner. Like, what am I doing? Am I happy? What about me? How much am I getting paid? What goals am I kicking? That Sunday morning in Mass is like the only place that it forces me to look outwardly. How am I treating other people? What am I doing out there for other people that's good? Yeah, just that's good.
That's amazing. 1 hour, I think, because some people struggle to do that kind of reflection daily for 5 minutes, but you do it for an hour to consciously kind of kick in your week.
Ginny, it's 45 minutes. And I do, I am sitting there. It's hard to concentrate and go, come on, you've only got a bit more to go. It's a struggle. But isn't everything a struggle?
Absolutely. I think it's great. I think it's great that you do that and that you put time aside for that sort of stuff. It's fantastic. Monique, who's someone who's left a heartprint on you?
I love this question. Do you know, I'm going to get deep on you again.
That's fine. Deep it away.
I watched a Four Corners documentary a really long time ago about carers with people that have a disability. And I was just struck about how lucky I was to not have anyone in my life that had a disability, because carers of people with disability, it's bloody hard. They have, like, it is heart-renderingly, it's heart-crushingly, soul-crushingly hard. So I signed up with a program called Interchange. This is when I lived in Adelaide, where you live, become like a buddy to a person with an intellectual or physical disability. And I got paired with a girl called Taylor. Of all the people I've ever met, she left the biggest heartprint on me, because she just came from a really bad situation, and I would do really simple things with her, like take her to the movies and buy her a large popcorn, that no one had ever done that for her before. I would take her into the city where I worked and show her the radio station that I worked at. She'd never been into the city. Like, she lived out in the boondocks of Adelaide. You know, that was a big trip for her. And just being able to show someone who people don't put time into that much a little bit of, I don't know, it was just, there was so much she taught me about myself, and I feel really regretful of how it all ended. Like, I moved to Melbourne, we lost touch. I think about her all the time, and it's not a good heartprint. She left a sad heartprint on my heart, and I think about her a lot.
I think even though you may feel that there's a sad heartprint, but if you obviously left a lovely heartprint on her.
I don't know that I did. I feel like I left her, and she's probably wondering what happened and where did I go, and I don't know, I feel so guilty about it.
Have you tried to reach out to her?
No, because her mother, foster mother, said, you've walked away, you've done too much, you've damaged her by walking away, please don't get in touch.
Her mother said that.
Sad. Is this too sad?
It's not sad at all. I'm getting a little bit teary, though, because it's a beautiful story. But I don't know, is her mother saying that as a projection or is that actually genuinely how she feels?
I don't know. It was a long time ago now, but yeah. I still think about her. It's weird, isn't it? I feel guilty.
It's beautiful. I think it's beautiful that you think about her because obviously you're sending her love and that counts for something.
Does it?
Yeah, it does. Thanks. In the spiritual realm, you're sending her love and that obviously on some dimension, whether it be the soul dimension or whatnot, she's feeling it.
Yeah. I wasn't in her life for long, but it was really hard and it was really eye-opening. So,
I think what you've just done is you've made people think about to be grateful for waking up with their senses intact and the privileged lives that we lead without all the complaining that we do.
We are so privileged. I think about that all the time. Every time I don't want to get out of bed to go for a run, I go, oh, how lucky am I to have legs? And then off we go.
That's a great way of looking at it.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful to have legs.
Can you imagine if you were in a wheelchair? You would want to feel the earth beneath your feet more than anything, right? You would want to feel the wind on your legs more than anything. Just channel that.
That is so true. Because I've been trying to find it hard to get back into shape. So I'm like trying to find different excuses to lift a weight up. I'll lie down and do it, but I won't stand up and do it. And my trainer's like, look, what are we going to do with you? Do we need to put you on a challenge? I'm like, I'm good. But just what you've just said about being grateful for your legs, I take them for granted until I got a collapsed arch. I'm like, oh, shit.
Oh, no.
I need to fix my leg up. But you do realize it when it's gone. But that's so true about how we take these limbs and things about touching things and picking things
up. Smelling things, looking at things, hearing things, all of it. Ginny, when you said you've got to get in shape, you are in a shape. That's your shape. Don't worry about getting in shape.
You are in a shape.
Just don't worry.
That's a good quote. I love that.
Don't look at it like that. Look at it as running, as feeling the wind on your face and bloody getting a sweat up and rolling around.
Be so good. That's a great way of looking at it.
Hey, sleepyhead. Why so sleepy? Oh, it's because your mattress is a bag of potatoes and scrap metal. You should try a Nectar mattress. With award-winning layers of comfort, you can sleep easy knowing you got incredible value. Mattresses start at just $499, and you get hundreds of dollars in accessories thrown in, as well as a 365-night home trial and a forever warranty. Go to NectarSleep.com.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question. I think I know the answer to this. Do you take your phone to the bathroom with you?
Yes, and I mute when I'm doing away.
You do?
Yep, I do. And sometimes I mute when the plop happens. Sorry, guys. It's true.
Have you had a clumsy, thumbsy moment where you've slipped it?
No, I haven't. But anyone who tells you they don't take their phone to the toilet is lying.
Yeah. Well, that's out of the 10-odd interviews I've done, pretty much 9 out of 10 have all said yes.
Do you?
Of course I do.
Yeah.
Most of my conversations and business calls happen in there. Yeah. And emails?
Do you think you can never tell? Because I'm sure people have done it to me and I don't know that I've ever noticed.
I noticed the echo. But then, you know what I notice? The echo and then the silence. The echo and then the silence. Pay attention to that as soon as you hear the echo.
Okay, so Ginny, should you tell people? Should you give people the heads up or just pretend like nothing's happening?
Pretend like nothing's happening.
Okay.
Unless it's your partner because they know. It's like, baby, you're in the toilet.
Yeah, my sister always knows too.
You've obviously travelled a lot. You've moved from Adelaide to Melbourne, like you said. You go to Sydney a lot. Have you ever had a friendship you've outgrown? And what would be some advice that you'd give to someone who's outgrown some friendships?
Oh, that's a really good question. Yeah, I have outgrown friendships. And the advice I would give to people is that's okay and it happens. But I haven't outgrown any friendships in a bitter or bad way. It's just been, you know, people have different life stages. And I think at the end of the day, we'll all come back into the one life stage, mate, hopefully one day, and you can pick it back up then. So, yeah, don't beat yourself up if you've lost contact with friends. And everyone's busy. You know, the one thing, though, that I read recently that was really good was Edwita Bartholomew. She's like a weather presenter on Channel 7, I think. She's hosted Dancing with the Stars. She's beautiful. Great chick. She did a thing called the 52 Friends Project where every week of every year she just picked one friend and just rang them and just was like, hey, how are you going? Just giving you a call, just checking in, welfare check, that's all. And it just kept her friend, because she found herself in a situation where she had no friends, and she just kept them kind of turning over and just checking in and going, hey, I'm just still here. So I thought that was kind of nice.
Because not many people call people these days, do they?
No. It's a bit of an invasion of the old private time, the call.
Yeah.
I'm a big caller. I love a call.
Me too.
Yeah.
Love a call. That's great. So she picked a random person from her friends list and called them.
Yep. 52 of them. and was just like, you're a bloody good friend, even though I never see you. And on one hand, I was like, what a great thing to do. But on the other hand, how sad that we have to actually like goal and map out those kinds of things these days.
Yeah. We have to, like, even my calendar on my little iCloud, 7:30 to 8:30, I've got to see this friend. It's like, can't we just let things flow organically anymore?
Mm.
I think you told me this off air or just a little bit earlier, but are you the kind of person that constantly checks for reactions for a social media post that you do?
Oh, not as... I am. Not hard and fast rules. Like, I only check if I think a joke's not funny. And because sometimes I'll just put something up that I think's funny and it won't get... So sometimes it's just a check-in to see, oh, does everyone see this the way that I see it? So, yeah, I do.
What's the mentality behind that? Because you pump out so much content as a producer or whatnot, and then when you go into your personal realm, do you kind of apply that same mentality of you kind of need that? Not, I'm probably phrasing this very poorly, but it's kind of that instant need for that validation. Is this okay?
Yeah.
Does this work? Do you kind of find that's kind of trickling into your other thoughts as well?
Good question. A little bit. Yeah, I think humans innately have a need for validation, and I think that has only been exacerbated by social media.
Absolutely.
It's the same. It's the pokey machine principle, you know. Those little tidbits of rewards can change something in your brain that makes you want it more. No, I haven't. I'm not obsessed with social media. Probably I should be, but I'm not. But more, I enjoy it. Yeah, I don't know. I think I have a pretty healthy relationship with it. I think a lot of people, now that the phone's in the other room, I'm okay. I'm weaning myself off it.
Is your husband getting more time now that the phone's away?
Yeah, he is.
The mistress is gone now.
Yeah. Which is nice.
Now, you've only been a newlywed, I
True,
believe.
Yes.
How is the newlywed year going?
Do you know, I don't want to be one of those humble, smug married people, but I am. I've become one.
A humble, smug married person.
I'm a smug married. I got married and before I got married, I didn't talk about my wedding. I didn't talk about getting married because I feel like people put marriage in society, in Australia, people put marriage on this pedestal and they think it's like, oh, now that you're married, you're okay. Like, now that you're married, we don't have to worry about you anymore. Mm-hmm. Now that you're married, you're a complete person, which I think is total BS. I don't buy into that at all. And I don't think marriage is an achievement. So I didn't ever really talk about it. Now that and leading up to it, I thought, what's really going to change? Nothing's going to change. It's just going to be me and him. And Ginny, it all changes. And this is hard for me to tell you.
Yeah.
Because
you can tell me. We've opened up a few things. We've opened up about muting stuff in the toilets.
Yeah.
I think it's probably the next stage.
Everything changes. You feel like you're part of a team on such a deep level. And I'm a team player. Like, yeah. I'm a sports person. I love being part of a team. So now I have my own mini team of two and maybe more down the track. And you just look over at the other person that you get married to and you're like, yeah, this is for life. It's really nice.
Oh, that's a beautiful way of looking at it. Yeah, this is for life.
It's pretty great.
What you just said there about the way that you looked at marriage is not so much for security or an institutionalized concept of what needs to be, but that's the way that you express that, being a part of something, belonging to a team. It's obviously something that's lacking for gay people these days.
It's so BS. So BS. We could go down that rabbit hole. I just think that marriage, it's like, you know someone's got your back. You knew it before, but now it's like it's in writing.
I kind of think back to my homeland, Sri Lanka. Marriage is kind of used as a way to climb the social ranks.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of dialogue there. And even now, that's one of the reasons that I avoid going to Sri Lanka, apart from the homosexuality being illegal, is that, why aren't you married? And that's the first question you get asked.
Yeah.
When you're married, do you own a house? How many kids do you have? That's the only kind of goal. That's the dream goal. And for me, that saddens me a bit.
Why is that? It's so weird.
I don't know.
Who started this?
I actually want to find out who did. Is it because of the population thing? Because they needed more people, so they needed more people in a controlled mating environment or what be it. But now it's different. The shift of the way people are thinking and the consciousness is shifting towards love and marriage and what it means to them. So if you could trade lives with a person for a day, who'd be?
I don't know. Do you know, this is my first thought was a nurse or a doctor, because in like a hospital where shit goes bad, because I'm constantly, I feel like you sometimes in life you need life-affirming experiences. And I feel like you would get them in a hospital. Like you see people at their rawest and their worst. And so you, if you just spent one day in the shoes of, or like a funeral director, you know, where you see people just like
gone
at their worst.
Yeah.
Then you'd come back to your regular life and be like, yeah, life, I'm alive, I'm not in hospital or dead. Yes, go life.
Have you ever gone on like a meditation retreat?
No, should I?
I reckon you've got that mentality of you like to kind of ground yourself and be humble in a way to be like, I need to appreciate my life more.
No, I don't want to know what's in the depths of my mind. I can't. That's why I keep so busy, is I don't want to know what's in there.
But I love the fact that you go to church every week, the fact that when you get up and your mentality behind running and exercising is that I have legs, just get up and run. For me, it sends a deeper dialogue that you're quite a grateful person. You're obviously a humble person, not just about your marriage, but just with everything.
Do you know, I'm a guilty person. I feel constantly guilty that I got so lucky.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole topic for another podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. I know.
If you could be anything that you wanted to be from now on, what do you want to do?
I want to do exactly what I'm doing. I want to talk to people all day. I want to make radio. I want to make podcasts. I want to just create content. I want to interview people and find out about their lives. I just want to, I don't know, I'm just a nosy person. I'm just a professionally nosy person. That is what I would like to do. I'm doing what I want to do. I'm the person that eavesdrops on people in cafes. I'm the person that meets people and asks them 900 questions. I interview people all day. I go to social events and I'll talk to people and my husband will say, stop interviewing that person because I just want to talk to people all day.
Do you get that a lot about when you're talking to someone? It's like, am I interviewing this person or am I having a conversation with them?
No, most people, in my own head, I think, yeah, stop interviewing them. But it's because I'm genuinely curious. And occasionally people will say, gosh, this feels like an interview. And then I know I've gone probably too far. I don't know. I'm just drawn to people and their stories and their lives.
Jenny, thank you so much.
You are such a ledge. Just stay off the mockers.
Monday, Mocker with Ginny Sarasvati.